We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Bob, your union was an important source of support for Lincoln Chafee when he won the governor's office in 2010. But since then, your union and other unions have been unhappy by how Governor Chafee supported the pension overhaul in 2011 and has supported State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist. What would Chafee have to do to get back in your good graces as he faces re-election next year?
Well, the Deborah Gist issue is timely and telling for us. While Governor Chafee was not the primary architect of pension reform, he took some hits from our folks for his participation in that, somewhat offset by getting us back to the table. For Deborah Gist, though, if she gets a new contract, the governor will be the primary architect of that. I don't know how he will explain that to 13,000 classroom teachers in the state of Rhode Island and the educational support professionals that work side by side with them in the schools.
Union support is particularly vital in Democratic primaries in Rhode Island. Where do you see the labor movement going in an expected three-way primary next year between Governor Chafee, State Treasurer Gina Raimondo, and Providence Mayor Angel Taveras?
Well, again, it's too early to tell. I think Gina has the highest mountain to climb, and it's probably an unclimbable one for the majority of union members because of the pension system and the hedge fund investments and kind of the Wall Street onus that surrounds her. I think that the mayor of Providence, while he made some early mistakes, Angel Taveras did the remarkably unique political thing when he made some mistakes and apologized for them and moved forward and seems to be taking a thoughtful and balanced approach to leadership. The governor, again, depending on what happens with Commissioner Gist, if he does the right thing with Commissioner Gist and some of the other appointments and approaches, maybe it would be his to lose. If he goes the other way and if Commissioner Gist gets reappointed, I think I expect to hear from Mayor Taveras very, very quickly to try and exploit our unhappiness with both the treasurer and the governor.
Let's go to Scott.
Let's look at the pension issue for a minute. Is there a split between your younger members and your retired teachers already? I mean, it seems one thing that the pension overhaul did was make this system solvent for the next 10 to 15 or 20 years for the taxpayers and make sure that there will be pension benefits in the works for young classroom teachers that are there today.
Well, those are certainly the treasurer's talking points. We said all along that we've never been opposed to a responsible approach to resolving the issues with the pension system, but we need to keep the commitments that had been made. So in the sense that there's a split, yeah, I think that our younger members, our newer teachers understand that the old ways are gone, but the old ways have been gone for 6 or 7 years. There was a time where someone could work for, as a teacher, could work for 28 years and retire. That at any age, that went away 7 years ago. So we've been making responsible reforms all the way, sometimes reluctantly, sometimes bravely stepping forward. But the treasurer went too far, did not involve us in the process in a meaningful way at all, and claimed in sad fashion that hers was the only right answer. And that's just not the case. And that's really the basis. I can't talk about what's going on in mediation. We're under a court gag order, but the basis of the lawsuit that led to the mediation was there's more than one right way.
Now, do you folks feel that it was unfair for the teachers to take the burden of this when the treasurer, and unlike the governor approach, the treasurer did not ask for any givebacks from police and firefighters, from public safety, but really the teachers and state employees bore the brunt of this overhaul?
Well, the entire thing was unfair, and we, in the labor movement, we don't say pick on other people because you're picking on us, so we don't want anyone else dragged into the fight. There were strong contractual arguments why the municipal police and fire pension systems couldn't be attacked, and ironically, those are the arguments that we're using in court, too.
We're talking here with Robert Walsh, executive director of the state's largest teachers union, the National Education Association, Rhode Island. Bob, I'd like to go national for a moment. You're a stalwart Democrat, so I'm curious what you make of the problems of President Obama. He's been involved in a number of scandals recently, and this week news broke that his administration has been conducting a domestic surveillance program, collecting records of Verizon phone call users. Do you think that the president has squandered his promise, and if so, why?
Huh, that's an essay question, Ian. I was an early and vocal supporter of President Obama's first bid for electoral office, And in hindsight, I probably should have been an early and vocal supporter of Hillary Clinton. So for all my friends who have chastised me for that, this is an admission that I was wrong in that case. On the experience issue, my motivating issue and the differential between the two of them was their approach to foreign policy and specifically the war in Iraq. And I still feel very strongly about that. But in hindsight, leadership and experience matter. And I think the president came into office not fully prepared to lead. I think he thought that he could be a accommodationist with Republicans on the other side of the aisle who had no interest in working with him. So he'd start negotiating in the middle and they'd drag his positions further to the right. He has had some great accomplishments, certainly getting a national health care plan in place, no matter how flawed it may be, is a big accomplishment, and we'll have to work hard to fix the flaws on that. I don't put much stock in the mini scandals that crop up. Some of those never reach the desk of the White House, but they show just how divisive it is in Washington and the amount of money that's being driven in trying to bring him down. So I defend him on those issues because those are not things that normally would even be in the dialogue. But I am disappointed in some of his leadership in other areas. And by the way, the Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Education is one of them.
Let's go back to Scott.
I'm always flummoxed by people who just have this blanket anti-teachers union approach. And if you look at it, you look around the state, you see the East Greenwich, the Barrington, Lincoln, all of these high-performing high schools, for instance, are all unionized teachers. Now, we do have a problem in the inner cities with trying to break this link between, again, the socioeconomic background of the parents and the achievement of the kids. What would you do if you were Philosopher King to try to narrow these achievement gaps?
If I was Philosopher King, I'd probably take a multi-prong approach. You're absolutely correct, Scott. Educational level of the mother, socioeconomic status of the parents are the two biggest outside of the school day predictors of a student's performance. And we can do things not necessarily in the schoolhouse, but in society, to have a tightly woven social safety net to make up for some of those issues, and programs like the one they run here in Providence, the Providence After School Initiative, to provide the goods and resources and experience to students so that they have those outside the school day, analogous to what the students in East Greenwich and Barrington and some of the districts I represent get. Inside the schoolhouse, I'd make sure that the funding formula was truly fair and that we'd have the resources we need in the school to give an analogous experience to a student in Providence that one in East Greenwich gets. And I believe that will cost more money in Providence because you're making up for some things. And I think there are some other things we can do, and we need, my union needs and the other teachers' union needs, to take a leadership role on. We need, in my opinion, a statewide base contract. We need everybody in the statewide healthcare system. We need to get these distractions away from teachers, whether they're the ones caused by collective bargaining, ones caused by rogue school committees, or the ones caused by a rogue commissioner of education. There's a lot I would do if I was Philosopher King to move the ball forward.
Bob, to come at the same question from a slightly different perspective, we've been having this public discussion about the need to improve public education in Rhode Island for many years now. What can be done to expedite the return on investment of taxpayers to get better academic performance and make Rhode Island more economically competitive?
Well, those are some of the efficiencies I alluded to in the answer to the prior question. I mean, it is remarkably inefficient to claim that we have an equitable statewide funding formula when you could theoretically have two analogous school districts with exactly identical student populations, both demographically and socially, and in equal numbers, and by happenstance, because of variations in teacher population, the cost of health care, providing health care to the workers, was different. So let's get a real level playing field on a lot of these issues so at least we have real data, not test these kids to death data like they're doing now, but let's get real economic, demographic, and educational data so we know what we're dealing with.
Bob, how about a longer school day? Would that help?
Not necessarily. I mean, when the former education partnership puts that in Providence, the parents came forward and said, longer for what? Longer without food in the cafeteria, leaking holes in the roof, no heat in the schools, and no computers in the classroom? Longer school experiences for a subset of kids both in the school day and the school year can be critical in providing students who need to catch up time to catch up. But there's no one-size-fits-all solution. Back when that group was pushing that issue, they wanted the same solution in Portsmouth and Providence. It made no sense.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Robert Walsh, Executive Director of the National Education Association, Rhode Island.
Pleasure to be back.